We're going to enjoy spending time together on Sunday mornings, walking through our series, Jesus the True and Better, comparing him with some characters, some individuals from the Old Testament, and some from the New today, beginning between Jesus and David. And so you'll notice in your bulletins there are note sections for you to be able to take notes of the three different ways in which we will look at these two men, who they were, and who is more supreme than the other. We already know that answer, of course, is Jesus. Jesus, who is the true and better king than David, actually is where we are going to start this morning. So if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to spend quite a bit of time there. This morning we'll bounce back and forth a little bit between the New Testament and this passage, but this will really bring to light much of what is the famed and favorite story of David in particular, his battle with Goliath. Before this actually took place, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul at that point, who was reigning, still working with Samuel, trying to figure out why the people that he was responsible for were cowering, actually went ahead of God, did not follow his timetable, presented basically his own, and offered a sacrifice, which, because it wasn't God's timetable and God's way and God's instruction, was sin for Saul. So as a result, Samuel instructed him that instead of having a lifetime of reign that you were supposed to have had, that was the design for you, because you've stepped out and in front of God, imposed your own will, done your own thing, you have lost the opportunity for this lifetime of reigning, and God will select another. So we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, this story of this Philistine who comes out from the ranks, Goliath, and places a huge challenge to those who were the Israelites, the people of God. Israelites on one mountain, Philistines, mortal enemies, on the other mountain with this valley in between. And neither, though they knew a battle was coming, wanted to enter that ground because it compromised their safety. You can imagine if someone is up on a mountainside and someone is in a valley, who has the advantage? The one on the mountainside looking down, being able to take out whoever they would like to take out in that time. So we see this picture of these two. And then we see, of course, Goliath, this huge man, nearly 10 feet tall. So for those of you who have basketball goals at home, the height of the rim, that was this Goliath. Who knows how wide this guy was, but his armor, so heavily weighted, and all of the weaponry that he used, very significant. You would think that he would not be a formidable foe. He would be someone who would win no matter who faced him. So the Israelites, as a result, cowered. We pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8, and here is Goliath speaking to the ranks of Israel. "Why have you come up out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul?" So here he is. He is calling him out, saying, "Why in the world are you even letting me stand in front of you if this person that you say you follow, Saul, and of this God that you follow, why in the world would you allow me to stand and speak in front of you regardless of my size?" He was calling them cowards. "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So here is this man coming out, calling out the king, calling out the people, calling out the God they served, and saying, "If you are that great, if the one whom you trust in is that significant, that mighty, then send a man out and let us battle and let's see who wins. And as a result, if I win, you're ours. If you win, we are yours. But it will take the death of me or that individual." So the people, as a result, coward. No one would go forward. Look in verse 20, it says, "And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him." So his dad said, "I need you to go and check on your brothers at the front, take them some food, take a gift to the leadership." And he came out to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. So you would think that his brother, seeing him coming, would be grateful for the food that his dad sent, happy to see their brother, who had left his sheep being taken care of somewhere else. "We are glad to see you, David. You will not believe what is happening." Well, actually, that is not what took place in the conversation. We see in verse 24, "All of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid." Goliath coming out once again, calling them out. "The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. The king will enrich the man and who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel.'" So David asked the question, what would happen for the man who kills this man? Same result, great reward. Verse 27, "And the people answered him in the same way, 'So it shall be done to the man who kills him.'" So Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and he became angry with David. And he said, "Why have you come down here? What in the world are you doing? You are just a shepherd. You're supposed to be at home. Why are you here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" So who's watching your flock? Who's taking care of your business at home? Have you taken care of your responsibility? "I know your presumption and the evil of your heart." So now he takes it in another step and says, "You've got evil in your heart. You came here because you want to see what's happening with this battle. It's not because you're trying to help us. It's because you're selfish." David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" He turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. So he continued to repeat this, and the people continued to tell him, "What are you doing here?" Verse 31, "When the words of David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him." So the people were basically saying, "David, you have no place here. What are you doing? Why are you even with us?" Saul hears of it and says, "Okay, bring him to me." Verse 33, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him.'" David had said previously, "I want to take on this man who is calling out against our God and our people. But you are a youth, you're young. And he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep." And he began to go through his resume of how he took care of the sheep that he was responsible for and how there were different enemies that would come against them. Namely in this, fierce animals. And he worked against and warred against and beat those animals protecting the sheep. And if he could do it with them, then he could do it too with this man. So verse 37, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." So then he tried to put on David all of this armor that didn't fit, overwhelmed him. And David said, "I'm not going to wear that armor. I need to go against him with what I have." So he took his sling and his five stones, and he was prepared for the battle. So David, who was a good shepherd, possibly a great shepherd, caring for his sheep, in the process of that, definitely at points lost some of his sheep along the way. He was a shepherd. Jesus, too, New Testament, referred to as the good shepherd, the shepherd of our lives. The difference between David and Jesus is that Jesus has never lost one. Recall, there are verses all throughout the New Testament that talk to us about once we have surrendered our lives to Jesus, we are his. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Once we are his, we are his. David could not state the same. So we see just in that example, Jesus is a better shepherd than David was as a shepherd, because David definitely lost. Jesus did not. So we see in 41, verse 41 of 1 Samuel 17, the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And the Philistine looked and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth. So he's already heard this story from his own people. Ruddy and handsome in appearance. So he's handsome, but he sure is tiny. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? As he saw what he was going to fight him with. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air. And so here this man stands facing David, the smaller, the younger, the less experienced. Fine, if this is who they have chosen, you are about to lose, and lose royally. And the Israelites are about to come under our control, and the kingship which you once knew, you will no longer know, because now we will control you. So we know the story of what took place. David took this stone inside of his sling, flung it, and with one shot killed this gigantic Philistine beast of a man. And as a result, what did the Philistines do? Go out and engage in the valley? Took off the other direction. And actually, the Israelites pursued that people group to wipe him out because they had the strength of the Lord behind them. So the Philistines send this man who was supposed to be an unbeatable giant. The Israelites won, pursued. David, a good shepherd. David also a good king, but Jesus, the true and better king. We know in this story that David in those moments was not seen by anyone on the field as a future king. He was just seen as this young man going out to do battle who probably had no shot. Later, of course, we know as the life of David unfolds that he did become king, the greatest, in fact, as he walked with God. Psalm 23, one of the greatest known psalms coming of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And David serving the king as king over God's people. Well, Jesus, in Matthew 2:2, also it is said, he came, but the world did not know him. So he also was not recognized initially as king, especially in his growing up years. And so we see this comparison between these two men, David not recognized, Jesus not recognized, David serving God as king, Jesus, God, being king, but not in the way that the world expected him to be king. See, the Jews were looking for someone to come and rule and reign, but Jesus came in lowly estate, born in a stable, in a manger, wise men coming to see him, but not in a big explosion of this is absolutely amazing, in a scene of Jesus being crowned as a baby, as king. No, it came later in the form of a servant, to the point of giving his life. The problem was, for David, this giant, Goliath, he overcame him. Other things in his life later, David did not overcome, actually caved to sin, compromised his leadership. Jesus, on the other hand, coming as king, above him on the cross, stating the king of the Jews by Pilate and by those who were crucifying him, saying he was king, mocking him in essence, although he was king. Jesus taking death over sin, taking death over death itself, conquering the grave, coming alive, being raised again on the third day, giving us an opportunity to have a relationship with him and have life. And by the way, all others who have ever claimed to be the king or God, none have ever done as Jesus, living, dying, raising again, allowing us to surrender our lives, giving us the opportunity to do so, to follow him, to love him, to be forgiven of our sin, and to spend eternity with him. No one who has ever made that claim before other than Jesus has been able to follow through and carry through. And so we see in that Jesus is our true king, the better king. John 1, 9 through 10, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus himself was light. In John 18, 36, we see that Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. It was still coming, and it is still coming for those of us who have a relationship with him as well. Jesus is not only a better shepherd, than David. Not only is he a better king than David, he is also a better victor than David. David went out before Israel and secured a victory for his people by defeating this giant. But Jesus conquered the greatest enemy that we have, sin. He did it on the cross by the shedding of his blood, giving us the only opportunity we have to come into a relationship with him. It is a battle that we could not win on our own. It's a battle that could only be won through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. We know Jesus was a true and better shepherd than David. While David was ready, Jesus as well was ready and willing to go to the point of death as he did, resurrected. Jesus is that true and better shepherd who tends the flock of God. We know in the New Testament as well, all throughout Matthew, it talks about how Jesus had compassion on those for whom he saw. Sheep without a shepherd. Sheep needing guidance. And so he stepped in and he was that shepherd, protecting those from some danger, in particular, the danger of separation from God for eternity, what the Bible tells us is hell. Jesus is a true and better shepherd who tends the flock of God, and he shepherds our very hearts. This is not an easy time for many people in the course of the year. In fact, the holidays bring more stress and more pressure than other times for many. So discouragement and depression run rampant, not only in the world, but also in the church. So due to loss, conflict, financial challenges, whatever comes the way of those who are struggling this time of year. And so God, for those of us who know him, in the midst of that, speaks to us, guides us, leads us, carries us through those things. But for those who don't know him, they are, as was mentioned earlier, like sheep without a shepherd. And they need to have a confidence and an assurance of knowing that they too can enter into a relationship with Jesus. So how do they find that out? By us. Sharing our stories of how God radically saved us regardless of age, stage, and how he offers salvation to them as well. Promises to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. To love them through it. And as a result, because we've experienced things in our lives that have been difficult and God has carried us through, that his promise is to do the same for them. How are you in that area today? Discouraged? Dreading the holidays? Glad Thanksgiving is over? Looking forward to Christmas and New Year's passing by so you can just enter a new year? If that's you and you're a follower of Jesus and you're struggling like that, it is probable that you have told very few, if any. So this Christmas, will you reach out to someone you know, you trust, who knows Jesus? Share with them how you're discouraged and what's happening, and allow them to be not only a friend, but a prayer warrior for you. There are so many here that would count that as a great privilege to do that. As God shepherds your heart and as God shepherds theirs, to provide encouragement, Jesus definitely is the true and better shepherd. He is also the true and better victor. We know one day, for those of us who know Jesus and have surrendered our lives, a better day is coming. That day is heaven. So whether that comes before our death and he brings us home, or if it comes after we pass and we're immediately in his presence, a better day and place is coming for us, and that will last for eternity. That should give us great joy and hope. David could not offer that. Jesus does. Finally, Jesus is a true and better king than David. John 1:8-11, speaking of Jesus, tells us this: the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So like David, Jesus came to our world as a king whose kingliness had not yet been revealed. And the majority of our population does not yet see Jesus as king. If we pay attention in our world, people are looking for leadership. They're looking for a king. Many are frightened not just of what tomorrow holds, but of what this moment holds. And they need a Savior to come in and rescue them from the dominion of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of the Son he loves, as he has done for those of us who have surrendered. So will we have courage, like David, in this season, to proclaim the gospel to those who are lost, to take up for those who need encouragement, believers or not, to be an encouragement and a source of joy, and prayer warriors for one another as we're called to, looking to help where God has enabled us to? Will we take the challenge of seeing Jesus in this way, allowing him to reign and rule in our lives, to reach those around us who need him, and to encourage those who are struggling who know him? Will we? Let's pray.